Hey everyone, welcome to the Foch's Corner with the real Phony Bennett, the king of UVA basketball Twitter. Dougie Fresh, who will join us momentarily, the producer, the CEO, T Dubs, and I'm Mark Jerome. Thanks everyone for joining us and listening. Coach, great week.
Yeah.
Can we kick this off with the genesis of I Am Phony Bennett? The video that T does put together that is so incredibly nice.
Yes. And so if you're listening to this and you haven't seen that, first I would encourage you to press pause, go to probably the page where you loaded this from or my Twitter feed at If Tony Tweeted, and you can see this incredible video that we put together to raise money for the UVA Children's Hospital Cancer Center. So it started, I think mid-August, I approached T-Dub about doing some sort of fundraiser for September Childhood Cancer Awareness Month for the UVA Hospital, and maybe selling t-shirts, right? That seemed logical. That was the limit of my idea making. And T-Dub here, all the credit goes to him because he immediately came up with the I Am Phony Bennett thing. So I Am Tiger Woods. I don't know if some folks remember those ads, some don't. It was a really nice ad campaign. And so it's kind of a play off that. And then what happened next? T-Dub said we got to make a video like the commercial. And so we started trying to enlist some people. And T-Dub, I mean, you can talk more from there, like what your vision for the video was, because that video was your brainchild and you did so much of the heavy lifting in the background to get some of these folks on it. So why don't you tell us about it?
Full credit goes to Jake Malisek, who put the actual editing of the video together. But yeah, I just started reaching out, and my initial concern with it was like someone saying that they're phony, like out of the gate is going to be like, hey, I don't want to say that. I don't know what Twitter, they, you know, they're not on Twitter and they don't know who you are. So I strategically just reached out to people that have been guests on the show and got them. And then you went and got Seth Greenberg and Mark Titus. So then we made an initial draft of the thing, so people got a feel for it. And then I just started sending that along with it, with your message. And then the ball started rolling a lot easier because people were like, oh, this is great. Whereas like, it's, you know, we purposely did not reach out to like the current staff because it's like unfair to ask them to say they're phony version of their own boss.
Right.
Like, I was like,
oh, although fine. Williford, Coach Willie, he retweeted and said he's the real Phony Bennett today. So, you know, maybe if we do this next year, we can actually get him saying that on video. But yeah, I mean, it was really neat. And we managed to not only get some of these national names involved and so many athletes, but yeah, there's a few kids in the video that are making their own fights that have their own challenges. You know, Dalton Fox is in it. He's still fighting his battle. He's lost a leg to cancer already, but it hasn't slowed him down. I got to meet him after a game 2 years ago, and just an incredible little kid. Yeah. Catherine Meir, she's an AML survivor, and that's a quite serious form of not that there are any non-serious, but of leukemia, and she's I think 3 years cancer free. So I mean, this is just it's wonderful to me. Those are the stars of it because I see them and I'm familiar with their stories and stuff, and then I think for the more diehard UVA fans, it's seeing these guys from a couple different generations of UVA basketball and placing all them and football too. And not just men's basketball, Ginny Busek, which I mean, what a legend to get in that, you know,
trailblazer.
For those that don't know, she's an assistant coach on the Dallas Mavericks staff. One of, I think, only three women assistants in the league. And, so I just love that these folks were willing to take their time to do this for such an awesome cause.
Yeah, we reached out to a bunch of people. We got a pretty good feedback, and we didn't hit up more. So if other people out there feel left out, it wasn't. We just felt like we had enough. Didn't want to keep bothering people.
I think at a point we had to cut it off because you know, otherwise you end up with a 10-minute video and it's like, okay, let's get to it. Why are all these people saying that? But and Jake just did a fabulous job editing the video together. Like, it came out when you sent me that first rough cut. I was like, oh man, that is really cool.
That's the one. Like, it hits you right away when you start watching. You're like, oh wow, this is a movement. So yeah, I really enjoyed it. And then Corey being on brand goes last.
Right. Yeah. But yeah, there's so many good people, you know, around the program and just nationally that, you know, it's just a nice bit of positivity right now that we can all use. And so far, I think the support has been really strong. I've been just blown away by it. So I thank you guys for working with me on this, and especially UT Dub for doing so much work, and you have even more work ahead with shipping and whatnot. So
got 50 orders so far. So you know, we'll see how this goes. And for those people that are gonna, you know, all the links will be in the description. The back order, I mean, the initial batch we had, we made a small batch. We didn't know how people were gonna accept it, but we left a back order open. So we'll cut it off at some point, and then I'll make the process and make the shirts and then ship them out. So you have to be a little patient with us as we get through that, but I'll do it as quickly as humanly possible. And Chris, we'll just have to work together and get an end date in there so we can get everybody the shirts.
Right. That'll be good. I don't want to make people wait.
Yeah. Is there a goal?
No. I mean, you know, it's funny because initially I was like, maybe, you know, if we could do this fundraiser, if we could sell 100 shirts, I thought that would be, you know, pretty awesome. And so there's 50 orders or 50 shirts?
50 shirts.
50 shirts. So we're halfway there. I mean, on the first day, and I was figuring, okay, we'd run it, you know, for the duration of September, but maybe we shut it down. We just do it for 2 weeks. Well, 2 weeks at pretty much, well, it's not quite the duration of September.
But we have to make one last push. I think we'll have a good idea how many total gets, so I could at least place the order for the number of tees we need, and then the screening part isn't as hard.
Right, and so the explanation on doing it that way, you know, all profits are going to go to the Cancer Center. If we do smaller orders, that ups the unit price. And what that means is less money goes to the kids and more money goes to the t-shirt company. Right. So right. It makes more sense to be able to do one order, which is why.
And I have two kids who are child labor for me to help pack and ship these. That cuts more costs. I have healthy kids, so like, they need to do some work. So
right. Yeah, your kids are in the video.
Labor fashion.
your kids are adorable. My kids, fresh as in hair, but... It was great. We didn't have any of your kids in the video, Mark. There's a lot of them. There's a lot of, right?
You don't know that for a fact there. I mean, you want to do the roll call? So we had Ahmad Hawkins, right, on his run. He did on his morning run. He had his whole crew. Too many to mention. They're the lead off. Then we have Bennett Conlin, Fresh's Kids, Mark Titus, and then is Catherine Wright, and then Seth Greenberg, and then Tony Covington, and Caroline Darney from Stringing the Lawn. Your other daughter, is that right?
Yeah. Yep. That's Ella.
Justin and his niece. And then Justin Anderson, and then Jake is the one with the American flag. A little scared. That, I don't know. The American flag now triggers me a little bit. And the next one, Grant Kyle Guy.
And then I know some people didn't recognize Kyle at first because he's.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got the mop, like,
looks like and everything. The hat. It's great. Yeah. And he looks eerily similar to Grant. And anyway, my kids are next, and then Junior Burrow. And then Dalton, right? Then Anna, Akil Mitchell, Yuri Barnes.
Yeah, Anna Bennett. I mean, shout out to Anna Bennett, to Coach's daughter, for doing this. We hadn't mentioned her.
Evan Nolte, Isaiah Wilkins, and then Jenny Busick and her daughter, and then Tommy Smith. And then the two battle it out between you and Corey.
Right. before you get in the last word. And I've seen several people comment that they're not surprised by that.
Yeah, he was like, once he said it, I was like, I'm putting that dead last.
Right. I figured that was a requirement in his contract.
I think the opening was so incredible with Ahmad, with everybody.
Yeah, with everybody.
Yeah, right, no, away, it's, like, oh, it's perfect. And Ahmad ended up, you know, because you sent out some of these T-shirts in advance, and Ahmad actually posted a picture of his T-shirt this weekend. So that was kind of cool, because it wasn't a planned thing, but it was like, okay, well, you know, maybe
gave people an idea of what was coming.
Yeah. But I mean, he was so great getting his running group to do that. I mean, just everybody, just, you know, there's some creative, it's just, it's really cool. It's very heartwarming to see, you know, people being selfless like that. So.
Yeah. Especially in a time like this, where we're also, you know, wrapped up in everything, to see this, all kinds, every walk of life in this video, the common bond, pretty, yeah. Really cool. Really cool. Yeah.
Everything else is awful right now, but we got a lot of sports tonight.
We do.
Did we talk about the ESPN tweet that, like, all these major leagues are playing on the same night or the same day for the first time ever? Did you guys see that tweet?
Oh, no. What happened?
So tonight you have, what, college football, NFL, NBA, NHL, Major League Baseball. Are there any other sports, major sports out there? MLS. MLS.
MLS.
And at least all of those are all playing on the first night ever. Mm-hmm. They've never all played on the same day before or something. Let me find it, because cool. It's an ESPN stat, so I tend to trust them. They've got a pretty good research department for that stuff.
That's incredible. I mean, why would they be playing all on the same day, right? No, they're different seasons, so fascinating.
Right. It's just, yeah, because of how the seasons have shifted and stuff, that it never had the opportunity. ESPN stats and info. That's what it was. It's the ESPN stats and info account, which I think is probably better than the regular ESPN account.
That's really cool.
But anyway, so there's lots of sports options after going so long without any sports. We've got lots of options tonight.
Oh, I pull up the first tweet. This one is fresh paint on the JPJ court.
Looks great. They didn't really redesign it. I mean, it's the new logo and the new font and stuff. And that new font is growing on me. But
I mean, it's a lighter colored wood too.
Gotcha. I do miss the days of Jefferson's signature. I mean, that's probably more problematic now. I thought that was a neat touch, and it's probably more of a, you know, a hot point than you really want to, you know, deal with anymore. But,
that was not intentional. Sorry.
Say, what did I get the bell for?
Like, is that a curse word?
Yeah. I was like, what did I say? I don't know if I said one of those phrases that you don't want to hear. Like,
nope.
Like we're cutting it up or something.
Nope. Thomas Jefferson is not a phrase.
But
next one.
That's good.
Can I just
court,
comment on the on the floor? Just the, like, I'll never get over walking into JPJ for the first time. The empty arena during Ty's unofficial visit. I'll never, ever get over that. It was so impressive. And I was like, I was so ready to sign my life away.
Right.
I was the court, the Jumbotron or whatever you call it.
Right.
And when they're showing the highlights of the winning the ACC tournament. Oh.
Yeah, it's a well, it's gorgeous. And I mean, the facilities are you know, really nice, and what they've done around, like, you know, you take those stairs down to the practice gym, and they've got all the who's that are in the NBA right now. I mean, it's yeah, I would think it would make an impression. My oldest daughter Ellen, I've got some pictures of her on the court. One of the first years when we stuck around to meet the team, she got to shoot some baskets on the court after the game, you know, because everyone was gone. And, you know, for a few years in a row, we got pictures of her standing at center court. And then, like, the last time, now they're like, nobody, you know, is allowed on the court. The security has gotten a whole lot stricter about it. But
I just kept thinking, why couldn't I be this good? Why couldn't I be this good?
Say, I'll play for you, Tony.
I mean, like, that's – the other thing is it can be so appealing to, like, to a walk-on.
Right? Oh, yeah.
And the walk-on's there. The culture is so healthy.
Right.
Versus some other places where the culture is and it's on a lot of teams and a lot of programs aren't so healthy, especially to the walk-ons where they're treated like second-class or third-class citizens.
Right.
So you walk on there, and even as a walk-on or as a coach, it's just – I'm just blown away. It's like literally like walking into a dream. It's the most beautiful dream I think I've ever had.
Right.
More so than anything I can think of. I mean, oh, that's gorgeous. So when you mentioned the floor, that's what made me think of that, T-Dubs.
Yeah, the first time walking on the floor for everyone is like, wow, this is it's a beast.
Yeah, I can't imagine coming out of the tunnel on game day what that's like. I mean, it's such an experience. I still keep hoping they get a projection mapping system because there are so many cool things that you do with that. You know, those are the systems that put the graphics on the floor.
Yeah.
So they've got projectors coming from multiple angles. So, I mean,
but
they can do so much amazing stuff with that. And we just need one donor, Paul Tudor Jones, if you're listening. A projection mapping system for JPJ would be wonderful.
I'll say the Final Four introduction was when that went off the first time, I was like in shock.
It was so cool. The stuff they can do, I mean, it's incredible how they can just make it look like 3D, and like a lot of hockey teams have that now and stuff. It's just I gotta figure the prices come down a lot too. Come on, somebody can pony up for it.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive what they can do now.
Have you seen those on any courts?
Not in college. Is that what you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, not in college. I mean, some of the pro teams have them, I think. And then, like, you see them at these big events. But, I mean,
the other thing I was thinking of my last war, when I went to the new when we went to the new C-Tai play at the new Warriors facility in San Francisco, they have basically in every, I don't know if it's every section, but they have they have an HD camera now, and like every few feet across in between the upper bowl and lower bowl, so they can do those 360 views of
right,
so you can take a picture and spin video
and spin and then they can stitch it all together,
and there's probably 500 camera, like HD, whatever camera, 4K cameras around. It's impressive to see.
It's killer.
I was a little surprised after the game, T-Dubs, that they didn't have any good restaurants or bars open late.
Yeah,
in the immediate area.
That's not the best neighborhood, so.
Oh, okay.
They kind of, they're trying to like bring that area back up to prominence with it, with the arenas to start. So it just opened. So hopefully next couple of years it'll get better.
What arena is that?
That's the Chase Center. It's right next to the what used to be Pac Bell Park in Soma in San Francisco.
Okay, so see how down from the wharf and Pier 39
on the water. It's on the water. It's really cool.
Yeah, I mean they really revitalized that area because I had I was down there when Pac Bell first opened. Like the first few years, because I saw Barry Bonds his record year. I used to go to games every now and then, but they were still in that kind of process of gentrification or whatever, and
still not there.
Yeah,
a lot of homeless.
But one of my favorite restaurants is right there, Boulevard.
Yeah, that's right.
I guess they probably close early though before the game.
No, definitely, that's an older crowd.
I love that restaurant. I think it's a James Beard spot.
Yeah, it's really good.
So good. I was fortunate. One of my cousins managed it. So she used to take care of us when we walked in. Otherwise, I don't know if I could have been able to walk in there.
Afford to eat like that there? Yeah. It's a
yeah. One time I sat next to who's the mayor? Willie Brown?
Yeah. Willie Brown, Oakland mayor.
Sitting right next to him. Yeah. Awesome. He was sitting next to, I can't remember who he sat next to. Who knows? Maybe it was Kamala.
Could have been.
That would have been cool. Yeah.
The next one is the Rothstein Files ACC preview. He's got UVA number one and Sam Houser play of the year.
Yeah, what are we Duke now? I mean, that's – yeah, I think this team can do it. You know, we have no idea what the season's going to look like. Are these guys going to get a non-conference schedule so that they can hit the ACC play, you know, cohesive with starting lineup set? Because we know Tony will spend a lot of time tweaking lineups in non-conference play and even sometimes into ACC play. But there's always seems to be a lot of chemistry building and stuff that happens in that non-conference schedule. So if that can come together, yeah, I think this team, if people live up to their potential, will be the best team in the conference. They certainly have every reason to be. I mean, they are really loaded this year and hopefully be better offensively. But Sam Houser, I mean, I didn't watch enough Marquette to know a whole lot about him. And, you know, he comes in with sky-high expectations. Have you watched his tape, Mark?
I saw him play a little bit at Marquette. I know one of the Marquette coaches. I saw him play a little bit at UVA, practice at UVA a few times. He's good. He's really, really, really good. Really good.
Well, what it seems like, listening to people, like offensively, like he's got a complete game, right? I mean, there doesn't seem to be many spots where he's not going to be a threat, which just makes him more of a threat. Defensively, I've heard some mixed things, that it wasn't his strength or more broadly that it just because it wasn't Marquette's strength, it's not something that he ever really showcased. I don't know if either of you guys have looked at him from a defensive standpoint, but obviously he's had a year to learn the system and, you know.
So the one issue, the one challenge offensively he has is athleticism, but he makes up with it with his frame and with his IQ. And defensively, that was the major issue, was can he play defense, okay, just in general. And I think that's exactly right, that people don't typically play defense the way UVA does. And last night on the Jay Willie show, Joe Harris was on, and Jay Willie was making fun of him, talking about when he first got there, how he was such a horrible defensive player. Right? And so one of the points that we brought up was when Richie McKay was recruiting Ty, he was like, just like I told Joe Harris's father, I'm telling you, Ty's going to be an NBA player. And I was like, yeah, whatever. And so – but Jay Willie was like immediately stepped in and said, hold it, stop. Because there's no way that Richie McKay said that after we saw Joe Harris play defense his first couple of weeks. He said his closeouts looked like he was the most uncoordinated person they've ever coached. Uh-huh. Right. So I think at UVA, you learn to play defense. And if you have and some of the guys that they have who aren't maybe athletic enough to be star defensive players initially, or they haven't concentrated on it and focused on it as part of their prior experience or prior levels of wherever they played, their IQs and their development and their determination and their coaching leads them to become better defensive players. It helps them develop, become better defensive players. So at some point, I'm sure he's going to be better at it.
I remember seeing DeAndre's before he got injured and his first year before the red shirt, him doing the closeout drill. I was like, oh my, this dude is way bigger than I thought he was. Like, when he did that closeout drill, I was like, oh, this is going to be a problem for whoever.
Right. He was one of the, so like two guys that I think of that were showed like where they were defensively from the get go. Dre was good and Malcolm that first year before he got hurt and you know, all that, both those guys, you know, were just, you could tell there was something special there.
So Malcolm came in as a stellar defensive player.
That his first year, that's what I remember from him, is watching him do some on-ball defense and I mean his closeouts and stuff like that. And then he got hurt, and then we forgot him because he was redshirted the next year, I guess.
Right.
And so there was this weird break, but
he was good. He was all around good his first year in every way.
But I, you know, it's funny watching him that first year. I didn't like. Now I think of him, and maybe the interviews just got to me. I think of him as more of a, you know, a heady player. That first year, he just seemed he seemed athletic and like he was, you know, just gonna get low and play defense and get around. And then, like as he got older, he just played more wisely. He developed more of that old man game, where he might not chase you around, but he's always gonna be where he needs to be.
They had the first time they came out to Seattle. I got to see Malcolm play that game. They had a full court press, and Malcolm handled it like I couldn't believe for like second game. And I'm like, this guy. I mean, it was everyone gave him the ball at the end with the full court press, and he got out of it. And he made the free throw. He was impressive.
He played 22 minutes a game his first year. Wow.
Yeah. And he was good. Like I don't what he couldn't have averaged a lot of points. What did he average? Are you looking at those numbers?
He averaged seven points a game his first year.
Yeah. Cuz I didn't really think of him as a scorer, but he seemed like he could be a defensive rock. Dre's defense is the reason for one of my favorite parenting moments at a game at JPJ. And this was early on because Dre made a play and my daughter says, Hunter plays really good defense. And what made me so proud of that is it wasn't like on a block or a steal. It was a defensive slide that Dre made. And my daughter's like, now that's good defense. And I was like, yeah, see, this is raise your kids to appreciate defense.
What while you're talking about defense, I immediately think of the Syracuse game. And Tyus Battle is a good one-on-one college basketball player. The last game they, I guess last year, two seasons ago, Tyus Battle could not get by Dre at all.
Right.
No matter what he did, right? Culver couldn't get by Dre. I'm trying to think. Somebody else, really good player, struggled getting by Dre. When you talk about just sliding and being long, being smart, and understanding.
Dre was so good. And Akil Mitchell, too. He's another one that when I think of guys that had those great defensive slides, Akil was another one because, you know, so many of the guys can't stay out of foul trouble when they're trying to do that. And you know, he just wouldn't give anyone a look. Love it.
But
man, I miss basketball.
You make such a great point when you talk about your daughter recognizing that. Right? A lot of the JPJ crowd recognizes that. And they get so excited. They start cheering when an individual player stops that really good offensive player from getting by him.
Yeah, I think, so I'm hesitant to say it because it seems like most fans of a team like to think, well, we've got educated fans, we've got knowledgeable fans. I think that's the term everyone uses. But, you know, there's definitely an enhanced appreciation for defense and you know, things like hedging and slides and stuff that, you know, maybe not every team has because their emphasis is on something different. If you're a fast break team or run and gun team, like, okay, that's, you know, you might be looking at guys positioning when the shot goes up or something, but you know, for Virginia fans, it's all about defense. And so I think they get into a little bit more of the nitty gritty. And of course the shot clock violation, that's all the announcers want to talk about is how nuts NBA fans go.
That is cool though. I have to say that's really cool.
It's unreal. I value that so much as a coach and as a fan. Defense and the fans getting so excited for a defensive stop. And it's, I think one of the things that people don't recognize who aren't UVA fans about defense and the fans getting excited is that it's also a team concept.
Right.
Right? It's not such an individual play. And so many people want to see dunks and fast breaks and some guy hitting 10 threes, which is all exciting to me too. But for a team to make a play and make a stand, right, after, and that's what the coach and the culture preaches.
Right.
It's such an accomplishment every time it happens.
Well, I guess that's I'd never thought about the shot clock violation as being that, but yeah, that's a validation of team defense. It's not necessarily a block or a steal or any individual player. That means the team denied for 30 seconds. So that's funny.
Thanks, man. You're watching great offense and they're passing around and making the extra pass, it's always like, wow.
And to go along with the 30-second shot clock is also, I think we have to include all the bad shots that are forced while the shot clock is winding down.
Right.
So shot clock getting on 10, 8, 9, 5, 4, and the fans getting so excited, and all of a sudden the player is looking up from the opposing team and has to throw up a bad shot. Right. Almost the same as getting a shot clock violation.
Right. Yeah. There are a lot. Yeah. Somebody needs to track a near violation stat or what are they like there's quarterback pressures in the NFL, right? There's gotta be something like that on the shot clock where, you know, you get credit because you made them push up a bad shot.
Yeah. I mean, those guys, while they're watching film, have got to be so proud. The coaches, right? Holding guys under 60 or under 50, whatever they do, whenever they do that. And watching how many times the other opposing team takes bad shots.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
It's so rare to get a 30-second shot clock violation, especially in games where, in a game that people appreciate and teach getting up and down, getting that first good shot.
Right.
And the teams that UVA plays against a lot of times are teams who sends guys to the pros. And the pros are looking for guys who can shoot and find that best open shot immediately. But that's what NBA is about.
Right. They're not working. It's got to be frustrating to be one of those teams that's used to that, and then all of a sudden you have to submit to that tempo, and you're just not getting looks, and that's got to wear on you. And that's kind of what you see, right? A lot of these games, they're fairly back and forth in the first half or the first 30 minutes of the game, and then it's that last 10 to 12 minutes that they just kind of lose their steam. And I don't know if it's frustration or just pure the physicality of having to work that hard just to get nothing. I mean, it's eventually going to take its toll. So,
and I'm watching the NBA now, and I've never really watched the NBA in the past, so this is the first year I'm really watching it. And I watch the playoffs sometimes, and the pace sometimes can be so frenetic and just one speed. And some of these guys are so, so good. It's mind-blowing. But at sometimes, that one speed gets guys into so much trouble. And just, like, last night I was watching the game, and it was like, turnover, 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 turnover. Hey, guys, somebody slow down. Somebody run something. Somebody have some kind of a plan. Right? Somebody control something out there.
So yeah, I'm just always impressed with the NBA, how good they are just shooting the ball.
Especially,
yeah,
that Boston game last night, they didn't miss, like Kyle Lowry falling down and then Tatum hit the three, and then it's like back. I was like, what am I watching? It's like
the last 2 minutes of double overtime. You're talking about that was so incredible.
They were 100%. Like, it was just like whoever gets the last shot, basically, but ultimately they missed. But that was incredible.
These guys, I just stop and marvel at them. Yeah. They're so good. Like, how could somebody be that good?
That Kyle Lowry shot was just like, how did he even get it off, let alone make it? You know, like, it was, anyway, incredible. The next one from the head honcho, the real Tony Bennett. Obviously, many details still need to be worked out and considering regarding an all-inclusive NCAA tournament, but the ACC head coaches are united and strongly pursuing this. He goes on to talk a little more, but what are your thoughts on that? All-inclusive NCAA tournament.
I mean, you know, on one hand, I'm happy for William and Mary to finally make the big dance, the bigger dance. I don't know what we'd be calling it. It's weird, though. I mean, as far as how you actually do the seeding and stuff, I'm probably against the idea of it without hearing a more compelling case. And I mean, if it's ultimately, if we have like a severely shortened season, then maybe it makes sense just because we get to see more basketball. But I mean, certainly that can't be the only season, because you're going to have, you know, a whole bunch of teams who only have a one game season, if that's the case. I don't know. It's weird. It's exciting. I won't complain too loudly if it happens, because this year is just so weird anyway. These are different times, and everyone's kind of already put an asterisk by everything that happens right now. So whatever, if they do it, they do it. And yeah,
and we'll all logistically live.
But it's very odd to me. And, but you know, we'll see some good upsets, I guess. I mean, I don't know. I mean, you know, if they do it and it's all chalk, you know, in the first round, then it doesn't look as brilliant. But you know, to make people go, yeah, see, this is why this was great, you're going to need some teams. You're going to need a 200 seed or something to advance a couple games.
Right. Can you imagine one playing 350?
Right. So there's 354. So it's like something. So if you divide it into four regions, they're like 87, 88 team regions or something. You know, I don't know. Would you divide it into eight regions? Would you? I don't know.
I'm guessing there's going to be like little play-in games to get to the.
Right. I'm thinking buys and double buys, kind of like the ACC tournament, yeah. Just way bigger.
You know? Yeah. A huge tree before you get to the one seed is my guess.
Yeah. And how long would this thing take?
Well, they do it like the NBA. Every other day you play, it won't take that long.
Well, but if you add rounds like that, it would really, I mean, for two games, it would only be, what, one more weekend, two more weekends? Because right now they do it with 64 teams. So with two more games, you could go up to 256 teams. So with one more game after that, you could go to 512 teams. So if they're going to play it that way, it would add two weekends at most, which isn't terrible. Well,
they'd have to be in one site, so that they'd be 24/7 basketball in like 2-3 courts probably. I don't know where they do this.
Right.
But if it's Orlando, they got 2-3 courts? Or maybe they do all the practice courts too.
There's a ton of courts in Orlando. Yeah. There's five or six in the Milk House, and then right across the street, just like come upstairs and walk maybe 10 yards, and there's a whole nother center of four or five courts. So
they'll be running games at the elementary school, anywhere they can find a court.
They do for AAU.
That'll be cool. That'll be exciting. Regardless, I'll be happy to see any kind of college basketball.
Yeah,
I think it's exciting. There's sports coming back.
I know we're all pulling for that Villanova Virginia matchup in the Garden.
Mm-hmm. Not gonna happen.
Well, that's the thing, the Champions Classic or whatever that Virginia's in this year, plus the Villanova game. I mean, it's, you got a pretty compelling non-conference schedule, and it'd be a shame to see all of that washed away. Understandable, but
still. Yeah, it'd be tough to pull that off.
Yeah, that's. Super interesting. That's it. That's all the tweets. Other than you actually going viral this week, but it's all good.
I'm going viral. No, we've got a lot of activity. So I'm hoping, you know, next week I think I might share some of the stories of some of the kids that are in this video.
Maybe we'll have some join. Let's see if we can make that happen.
Yeah, we'll talk to some folks, because but anyway, if you're listening to this and you ordered a t-shirt, thank you truly from the bottom of my heart. I mean, this is such a wonderful cause, and it's hard not to have an experience like that and not want to help. And so I appreciate folks letting me use this platform to try to give back in a way that I couldn't just do it on my own. And certainly you guys at Locker Room Access, thank you for allowing all this and handling everything on the other side. All I have to do is, you know, kind of tweet and talk about it. So this is really neat.
I appreciate it. Everyone's support. This is what it's all about, right?
Yes, sir. So, all right, guys. Well, we will, we'll talk next week then.
Perfect.
Look forward to it.
All All right. Thanks for listening.
With a tomahawk slam. Short. Got a chance to win it here. Up the front. This is the best of the tournament for both. Diakite.
Jerome.
Off the glass. Count it. And one.
Jim Jerome.